This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And this episode, I'm just going to preface, is going to be what I would call interesting. It was originally going to be an unhappy hour, and then it ballooned into something way too long for that. I am drinking wine, though, because this makes me really sad, and I've been putting off talking about it.
Yeah, we did.
For a long time. So today we're talking about when a fandom hurts you. And we're not talking about toxic fandom, which can hurt you, absolutely. We're not talking about when a property, looking at you, Star Wars, continues to make choices that hurt you, storyline-wise. We're talking about like when you have to leave because it's just hurting so badly. And this is about Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling. So with that, there is a content warning for suicidality and transphobia. But this is, because it was originally going to be an unhappy hour, I just want to stress, like, this is very much my personal, how I've been dealing with this. This is not prescriptive. Everyone is different. And I wanted to talk about it when we did, Joey came on and did a great episode about kind of the timeline of J.K. Rowling's transphobia and the damage that it's done. But because that episode was long, we didn't get to talk about the emotional part of it, which I think a lot of people leave out of this conversation. I think there are a couple of reasons for why they do that. But again, yes, this is very much like me talking, me coming from a very personal place. So I just want to make that 1,000% clear before we get into this. This is a very personal thing. It is not our typical, like, researched. I have a lot of research about this just in my brain, but it wasn't like a researched episode.
I think I will say with this, for anyone who was a fan and a true fan, like, I really liked it. I wasn't emotionally attached to it. Like, I get it. And I have a very, very, very set opinion because I wasn't emotionally attached to it. But people who are, and we know there's tons and tons of people who are and were, it's going to fall into being controversial no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a heavy topic, unfortunately, because that's what happens when you fall in love with something so hard and identify with it. That's the part.
Yeah.
When you identify with it so much and it feels like you've broken a part of your identity,
yeah,
that's going to cause a crisis. And this is what this is about.
It is. It is. And I'm mostly talking about it because I have a big group of friends that still enjoys Harry Potter fan fiction. Like, they're very clear they don't support her monetarily. And I was just thinking about, like, but I feel like there's this whole emotional part we're just not talking about. Like, what you're saying, Samantha, like, when you, someone described it to me the other day when I was kind of complaining about it, and she was like, it sounds like you broke up with an abusive ex and everyone's still hanging out with that person. And you're kind of taking it personally, even if that's not what's happening at all. But yeah, it does feel, it has a lot of emotions tied into it. A lot of people do identify with it really hard. And I think that means that we get defensive when we have these conversations that don't have perfect answers. Like, there's not a, I don't have some solution here I'm going to present. I would say don't support her financially, but I don't have a solution. And honestly, like, I'm going to Universal in October, and that was one of the first things I thought was, what am I going to do? And I was like researching, does she get this money? Like, what am I going to do about this Harry Potter part of the Universal Park? And just like, if my friends want to go, am I going to like not go? Like, what am I going to do?
Wouldn't it be that you just shouldn't buy things there because it's a part of the Universal pay already? And she probably already gets a chunk of that anyway, just for having it there. But like, to go in there and then buy something, that would be the profit. So yeah, no butterbeer for you.
I'll make my own damn butterbeer, but I probably won't because it makes me so sad now. But that's kind of the point, is I don't, this episode, I'm embarrassed by it, but I might cry. I'm probably going to get emotional. I know it sounds silly to some of you. I'm going to explain why, but like, I don't want to, if you can enjoy it without supporting her, I don't want to be the person that comes in and ruins that for you. I'm actually kind of jealous of you. One does not make better than the other, because I really don't have any judgment. We're all different mental gymnastics and how we deal with these things. But one thing that I think has really hung me up on this conversation is my dad was kind of controlling about what you could enjoy based on what he enjoyed. And so I think I've gotten really in my head about, I don't want to ruin it for other people, but it also means I'm not explaining to other people how much it kind of hurts me.
Right.
So it's just kind of, it's built up. So I'm worried if I go and don't buy something there, I'll still just be a miserable person to be around. But also if I leave, then that's going to make them feel bad. Like, I don't know what the good solution is here.
Right.
And speaking of, like, to be clear, I don't have great coping mechanisms. I do really use media as an escape. I use it to cope with trauma. So when I do lose that, it is hurtful, which I don't think is necessarily unhealthy, but I feel like I lean into things so hard. And again, maybe that's not unhealthy either, but that means it hurts a lot. It hurts, like, a lot. And it's just, it's sort of embarrassing because it feels trivial. I know there's so many bigger problems in the world, but it is something you use because of those bigger problems. Like, you use it. And I think it impacts a lot more than people realize, especially people who don't do this, who don't, like you said, maybe aren't attached to it. Like, maybe you like it, but you're kind of like, eh. So when you lose it, it's sort of like, oh, that's sad. But there are people who do. And I know people still continue to use it to cope, even knowing about her, but not supporting her. And I totally get that. I really do. But that's kind of the what I wanted to talk about, because I did love it so much. Like, if you had told me like a decade ago, I would have laughed in your face and been offended if you'd said like, it's not going to be part of your life anymore. And it might be surprising to hear that, because like, if you've been listening to me on this show, you might think like, oh, she'd been more likely to give up Harry Potter than Star Wars. That is not true. In fact, one of the reasons I'm so into Star Wars right now is because I have always loved it. But then the pandemic happened and I lost Harry Potter. And I was like, oh God, I got to find something to fill that space. I hate it. I hate that it hurts so much. It shouldn't. It's dumb.
All right. So let's go ahead and put a cap on this. Because you feel things this deeply, you should realize and validate that because it was a big part of your life. And to call it dumb or to call it something and try to squash it, it makes it worse. You're trying to invalidate yourself when you know it's a lie. So you're lying to yourself and it's just going to trigger so many things. So go ahead and stop because this is loss. And no matter what, for you, loss is significant. And for you who don't mourn well, this is going to be a greater impact because you try to ignore it. Which, by the way, sharing with our listeners is a beautiful and vulnerable thing. And I hope they understand and you understand how big of a deal this is. So no matter what, this episode with you being heartbroken makes sense and it's okay. And you got to figure out how to deal with that somehow because it's not going away. So with that, and as much as you want to try to replace it, that doesn't work. No matter what, because the initial emotions is something that you're going to long for always because you can never replace that. And again, with the first love, is something new. And it's something that is brand, even if you find a new love, it's still something different. So it's okay. It's not dumb. Don't say that because this is very valid. And just because not everyone understands doesn't change anything because there's a lot more people who do. So deep breath. Let's put that to the side. Don't say that. And listeners, you feeling that is okay too.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it does feel like grieving. And I'm going to talk about that more, about why that is. But I think also a part of it is I really did grow up with it. I know it sounds kind of trite, but I really did. Like, it's a long time to love something. It's a long time. I think I read the first book when I was 9. And it was just a big part of my life. And it was how I met friends. Like, some of my closest friendships was made over this. And I was kind of mocked for it because I feel like Harry Potter eventually achieved a mainstream acceptance. But for a while, it was sort of seen as like, that's sort of silly. Like, don't talk, that's embarrassing, especially as you got older. And so I really defended it. Like, I stood up for it. It was a part of my identity. It was the version of Star Wars now where, like, if you didn't know what to get me, we would just give me something in that realm and I would be very happy. And I would say that she was a feminist. I would say, like, no, she's out there, like, doing this good thing. And so it's sort of embarrassing in that sense, too. Because some people, and I know what they mean. But some people would be like, I guess I was right. And it was bad all along. And I'm like, that does not help me. I get what you're doing.
But the only people I know who said that it was bad all along was the ones who would say, it's witchcraft.
Yeah. Yes.
Which was my parents. So they would hate it more because they were feminists. So,
right.
Because she's a TERF. We know that.
Yes.
They think themselves feminists, but they exclude. So
yes, and we're going to talk about that too, because that's one of the things that hurts the most. I think is that I did think this about her, and then she just is using that to hurt people and convince people and normalize a thing that is just hate. Some people have also argued I'm actually being sexist and judging her harder. I do not think so. I do get that happens sometimes. But I think if you're calling yourself a feminist and you're doing this, then I don't think that's the same. I don't think that's the same.
For me, I will say before all the big things happened, I would not watch with Johnny Depp. So all the newer stuff, I didn't watch it. Uh-huh. And I still haven't.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, Johnny Depp is on my no list. And I know that's a whole thing, but whatever. I have a whole no list. And a lot of men are on it.
Yes. I'm with you. He's on mine as well now. But I also think, I kind of want to come back and do a whole episode on this, but I also think there's this thing that's happening where there's a nuance between being a bad feminist, but then just using that as an excuse. Like, you can acknowledge and say, like, I like these things that are problematic. But there's a difference between that and being like, oh, well, no one's perfect, when you're just, when the not perfect is outright harmful. Like, it's a nuance. It's a fine line. But I feel like some people are just like, oh, well, I'm not perfect. So they don't talk about it. They're just like, well, yep, too bad. But we kind of have to talk about it. Some people have also said that they understand why she's cruel and callous, because she's dealt with so much from actual terrible people. Okay, but this is happening with, like, people who love her and are not trying to, like, they are terrible fans. Don't get me wrong. Horrible fans. But this is coming from, like, people who are like, I want to love your work. Hey, why are you doing this? Or what do you even think about this sometimes? Like, not even what are you doing? And she's just hateful and dismissive. And that's, I hate that too, because I would count myself in that of, you know, I'd never like attacked J.K. Rowling online. But I just feel like she's so, I'm getting wrapped up in how she's talking about these people being the people she perceives as have targeted her, when I'm really just like, no, you're hurting people.
All right. When you see outright posts saying, please don't do this, my heart is breaking, I've leaned on you so hard, this is one of the most, like, heartbreaking things, that you would attack who I am. Mm-hmm. And her response is callous and cold and being like, well, you're not a woman or this, which is her responses to things, and then being invalidating. It's one thing, again, to be, like, criticized and to go back towards them, but to invalidate a person's love for you, wow, yeah. That's cold.
Yeah, and it's like, this is one of the things that bothers me, because I have had disagreements with friends about this, and it almost always boils down to, like, the monetary part, which I get. But the thing is, I supported her monetarily for a long time. Right. Like, the reason she's able to, she keeps tweeting about, like, oh, I'll just watch my royalty checks. That's me. Like, that monetary part, I am a part of it now, even if I don't want to be. And so it's just so infuriating when she does that, where it's like she's being hurtful and cruel and to the people who did provide those residuals that are allowing her to make these very cruel comments. It's messy. Like, I understand that it's messy, but that's one of the things that I keep getting hung up on, is that I did support her quite a bit. And speaking of, this is not a gatekeepy fan competition, because I feel like a lot of times this devolves into who's the bigger fan, and I don't think that's useful at all. But when I say I was a fan, I was a fan. Like, I was a huge fan. And now, because of how she's behaved, I can't even read fanfiction anymore, because it just hurts. Like, it's the first thing I think of. It's the only thing I can think of is, like, but she said this, or she did this, or she really kind of hates a lot of people, and I might be in that circle. Like, it's a very, I can't do it. And again, that's a very personal thing. I know people that can. But I can't. And I think one of the arguments I've heard a lot is about fanfiction in particular. I know she's terrible, but these characters mean too much to me, like, oh. Which I understand. But I hate it when people say that, because it implies that I didn't love them as much as you did. And that it didn't hurt, or that it was easy, or that it was like a choice I made, because I really didn't. It just hurt too bad. I chose to stop supporting her financially, but I didn't choose to let go or be forced out of it. So it really riles me up when people say that. I do get it. I really honestly do. And as we talked about in the episode with Joey, this situation with J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter is really unique. She is at the heart of it, essentially. Unlike a lot of other decentralized entertainment like Star Wars, that's just her thing. And she's the very public face of it. And she's very publicly and very cruelly and very mockingly doing these things. And I feel like a lot of people do like to whenever I bring this up, they like to do whataboutism. I'm like, well, what do you think? What entertainment you like is not good either, and all this stuff. Some people have even bought up like old timey books that are on our like school book list. They're like, that is not the same. Look, I don't have like, I didn't personally seek that out. There's a difference between something happening in the 1800s, which by all means, yes, let us call out how problematic it was, versus someone like in our current world, like today, maybe doing these things that are just impacting current politics, as we talked about in the episode of Joey. And I don't know. I literally did have a dream that she had people stone me to death and laughed while I died like a week ago. And this is someone I used to idolize. I have her autograph, like, and I really did hold on to it for as long as I could. And I admit it, because I knew in 2018 was when it was first like, something's amiss here. And it wasn't until 2020 that I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore, which is when she really, really
doubled down.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was starting to like some comments, and everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because she was. She seemed like part of the problem was her persona was championing marginalized folks at one point. The whole Dumbledore conversation about him. Yeah, he's definitely gay. To Hermione being played by a black woman being like, why wouldn't she be? I never said she was white. Like all these things that made you think that she was for you, like for the marginalized, which again, books like these, especially when you have a character that's an orphan, immediately, like as a person who was literally an orphan living in an orphanage, like that is a call out to love this character because you feel pity for this character and then you feel some sense of commonality because they're the underdogs. Like that's what you know with kindness and caring, which again, my social worker friends and I laugh because we're like, if that was a real person, he would have been real f***ed up. And like he would have committed a lot of crimes and or be so introverted and awkward that we would have societal issues like me. But all that to say, these fictionalized characters are built up so that you can feel a commonality. And as we know today, as she did as a child herself, she talked about it being feeling like the underdog the entire time. So that's a call out to those who felt that way in real life and finding a character to love and then finding different characters that could be you. So like having a Hermione character and a Ron character and all the different outside characters made you fall in love with that situation and wished you were a part of that world because she created this world. Like no matter what, yes, she is talented.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's an awful person, but she is talented and we know that. And unfortunately, she built up this love for years because I also watched in real time a good friend of mine, I've talked about her before, whose life was in shambles. Like I watched her going through so much in college and like watching and having to be careful to care for her because her stability was so unsure. I've seen so many things in her life. I was like, oh my God, is she okay? Leaned so hard into Harry Potter that when people would question it, she would break down as well. Like one person like, you're in college, why do you like this? And that was like, she was there from the beginning too, but we were, again, age difference. She was late high schools into college when she was loving it. And people would make fun of her because yes, us as college students, we would just be like, what are you doing? This is a kid's book, whatever, whatnot. But then seeing her lean so hard into it and finding defensiveness and making sure you understood how important it is to her. Again, I don't know where she stands today. We haven't talked in a long time, but I realized, oh, wow, okay. This is her reality. That fictional land is her reality and she needs it to cope today or everything will fall apart. Like when we talk about suicidality, I was watching her. Let's just say it like that. But when she would lean into it and just watch these movies repeatedly, read these books repeatedly, look into the world repeatedly, because she needed that to survive, literally, to the next day. So knowing that and then having that world fall apart because the person who created it, who you loved, because they created this world for you, and then they said, yes, this is my world that I want you to be a part of. You're welcome, where you can feel safe. And then to rip that from you, it's heartbreaking. And it's not only heartbreaking, once again, it's mourning. You've lost something.
Yeah. And that was me. Like, I think I did what I had to do to survive, as you said, but I did, like, I would sit in my room and I would just hold the book and I would be like, I can get through this because I have this. And it might not be the healthiest thing, but it was like what I had. And I did, when I would have suicidality, I would think, well, you don't know how Harry Potter ends yet. So that's something to keep fighting for. So it was like, it was such a big part of my life at my darkest, like darkest times. And now, yeah, it does. It's like alienating me and like making me feel unsafe. I had a friend say, like, every time I see someone in Harry Potter cosplay, I have to wonder, like, are they a safe person for me to be around? Like, do I know how they are they, like, they know, but they're like able to deal with it? Do they know and they agree? Like, all of those things. And it's also kind of like, it's not fun having to explain it. I had to explain to my mom why she should stop giving me Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, no.
And it's just like, I know that's really silly, but it's not fun to have to be like, well, actually, turns out this thing that I really convinced you was great is not so great. And now it hurts because it is. It's like you enter this safe space. You go to this sort of escapist fantasy world and you trust it to make you feel safe. And then, yeah, it turns around and hurts you instead.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Another part of this has been hearing from listeners, which some of you, admittedly, like a lot of years passed over these messages that I've been hearing. So your opinion, listeners, might have even changed. But some of you have explained how you're able to still enjoy it. But others have said like how much it just wrecked you. And that started becoming, I couldn't stop thinking about that either. So, which is not like, please don't feel like you didn't ruin anything for me. She did. like, don't feel bad about that. But it just became like, I couldn't stop thinking about that. And also now I wonder about conservative parents who did, yeah, once were like, it's witchcraft and banned it, and now are very happy to share it with their kids. I feel weird about kids reading it. I would never, ever, ever, like, I don't know, come at a kid and tell them. But it does. I wish if this hadn't happened, I would have, like, loved to have shared that. And now it's become a kind of a not. No, I would not love sharing it anymore.
I think about that also because my nieces have gotten into them recently. I think, last 5 years. And I found that shocking because, again, my mom was like, it's witchcraft. Never will I have it. And my sister even said that, too. And then all of a sudden, they're older high schoolers and they're all reading Harry Potter. And I was like, what's going on? Oh, they let you read Harry Potter? They're okay with, they watched Harry Potter with you? Like, all these things.
Right.
They literally never until that point. And then I think about it, I'm like, well, and I'm going to say this very frankly, and not to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm like, it kind of shows me that A, either you are not friends with the people who are in this community who has been truly hurt by this, or B, the people, we know there's a lot of trans people who are like, we're fine with it. This is fine. This has nothing to do, like, that separation, and that's for them and themselves. And I get that. And it's this whole other level of, like, being, saying that they can separate the art from the artist conversation. And it's kind of like, huh, okay, I can't give you that opinion because you, as a trans person, you have to decide for yourself. I have no stake in that matter. In that sense, that, like, everybody gets hurt, but I'm not personally attacked here.
Right.
So it's kind of one of those things like, okay, I'm going to leave it be, but do you see it for the people that you don't even know? And it is a question of empathy. And I know that word is really popular right now. And everybody's like, I'm an empath and I do these things. I'm like, I have to question, do you not understand when you see these really hurtful words that you may not be that identifier, but for a person to say that you're invalid, you're not a woman, and then this new rhetoric of, like, they're stealing from us. I'm like, what are they stealing? I don't understand. They're trying to replace us. That was the thing. And I was like, what? Right. Like, I'm just physically laughing. I'm like, that is the oddest way of seeing this. Like, then every baby girl born is trying to replace you. That's your mentality of, like, anyway, that's a whole other sidetrack. I'm like, there's so many things. I'm like, where do you get this? That you might, there's that question of, like, I don't think you do, because you're either you're not looking deep enough, or you're being very, very cavalier about this topic. Maybe you're just ignoring it because that's what you have to do and that's what you want to do to keep this safety. And I understand that to a certain extent. But yeah, there's this level of, like, do you truly, I don't think I think there's a level of disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that. And I think they would, like, I say that in a way that sounds harsh, but it's true. Like, they're, like, disconnected or separated, as they would say, or people would say. And that's an interesting way of doing it. I can't do that. Like, I can't do that for anything.
Yeah.
Which is why I miss out on a lot of things. But but that's the whole thing. It's like, which is why I'm like, I can't watch this. I can't see this. I cringe at this. Like, there's this level. And not that it makes me better. It doesn't. I feel like I miss out on so many things because of that level. But you have to question, like, okay, what's the motive?
Mm-hmm.
And again, if it's for safety, I get that to that extent.
I do too. And we're going to come back to your point about, like, it's not being better necessarily. That's not, like, not what I want you to, I'm not trying to be, like, shaming you for liking something. Cause like I said, as much as it annoys me when it comes up in argument, everything is problematic. And I get that. And everyone sort of has their own personal lines, what they can deal with, what they can disconnect. And I get that too. I guess what I really just want, for anyone else who feels this, I just want to let you know, like, I feel it too. Because it does get lost in, I think it does get lost in a really, like, black or white monetary situation when we're not talking about, like, kind of that cultural impact, that cultural hurt, that cultural loss of losing something that made you feel really safe, or that just was a great coping mechanism for you, or, like, something you have so many associated memories with. And I did want to put in here, because this comes up a lot, This is really silly. But people tease me all the time because I won't eat Chick-fil-A because of homophobia. And they're always kind of joking, like, oh, she has a code, but I like their chicken nuggets too much. And I always say it was like really easy for me to give up Chick-fil-A because I actually wasn't a big fan anyway. So it's sort of like, okay, well, I can give that up. And I consume products that are terrible all the time. I use things, honestly, I use things I wish I didn't have to use, but they're kind of like the only game in town. But there's a difference between like a company that I really don't care about. I really don't care. And like media that you love that got you through like this really difficult time. And so I guess I just want to say again, like it wasn't an easy thing. And it has been like grieving. As I was saying earlier, I have gotten really in my head about like, I don't want to bring down people's joy because it brought me so much joy. But then at the same time, I'm not acknowledging that it's like bringing me down when they talk about it. And so I kind of shut down. I close off when it comes up, which is not like the healthiest thing. I think I really haven't allowed myself to say any of this out loud. So I'm hoping maybe this is actually going to be a healing, kind of a healing moment. But also, I do want to acknowledge this. A lot of this has played out on Twitter. And most of my friends don't use Twitter. Haven't ever. Like, and so, I mean, there's an argument to be made about like willful ignorance, sure. But I also think like they might not know the extent. And I always feel weird when I'm like, well, did you know about this? Like, if I want to give all the examples, because there's a weird spot you're in then when if they're like, yes, then you feel that's not a great feeling. But if they're like, no, it's just a risk. It's a roll of the dice. But I will acknowledge, especially because I've like really, I have gotten off most of social media. Like I barely use it now. And sometimes you'll say something. I'm like, no, I had not heard anything about that. Mm-hmm. So I understand. I do get that that is a thing. I also get that it's not fun to talk about. And yes, I do not want people to like compliment me or say like, oh, yes, I get it. You're stronger and better than I am. I don't want that. That is not true. That is not what it is. I just wanted to share it because if anyone else feels it, but also to people who are still able to enjoy it, especially in ways that don't make her money, I don't blame you. And I really am happy for you. It's hard for me to show it, I can admit, but I am. Like, I miss it. And sometimes I think, like, maybe one day I could too, but I don't think so. And, like, she would have to, like, really, really change her tune and make amends, and it would still take a long time. But I, you know, who knows? I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. Honestly, it's a shitty situation. Like, it just sucks for everybody. It's not something I'm looking at guilting people about. But I guess, like, I don't like a lot of the arguments I'm seeing, which there are a lot of arguments about it, does revolve around, like, who's a bigger fan. And it being like, well, you gave up on it completely and I didn't. Or, well, I gave it up and you didn't. I don't think that's the conversation we should be having, honestly. Because it just hurts. It just hurts. And I feel like I keep saying giving up, but really it's forced out. Like it does feel like it's like grieving a loss. And because I loved it so much, like I opened myself up to it hurting you this badly. I get that for some of you, you're listening to this and you're like, what are you? Why is this such a big thing? But it is that. Like, I understand that for some people, it doesn't have these emotional stakes. But I think like this argument that I'm seeing, I think we should all remember like we're different when it comes to how we deal with something like this, which again is pretty unique, and maybe neither is stronger or better, and that's the point. Maybe it shouldn't be a fan competition about who loves something more, because that's really hard to judge, and I also don't think that's healthy. But I do think the fact that I loved it that much and left should say something about how bad she is.
Right. I think our listeners are probably aware, but that's the biggest thing, is to make sure you that everyone understands what's at stake necessarily. And when you see rhetoric and laws being changed based on things that people write, which literal laws are being changed and or introduced in the UK based on what J.K. Rowling has written and has been presented in the United States as well, as to why trans people should not exist, essentially. Like, that's what they're saying. And we are seeing a widespread of anti-trans, anti-LGBTQIA plus laws happening all over the world. Like, in the U.S. and in the U.K., we see it in a whole different way. And it feels like it's they've been waiting. And then having an influencer like her, who has money to back it up as well, because we also know she's donated to several of these causes. So instead of actually like not donating to anything or donating to something that's actually good, she donates to anti things. So that's the conversation that we're having, as well as the fact that both the publishers, the movie executives, and herself put her face as the spokesperson for Harry Potter. And that's part of that conversation too. It's not necessarily Daniel Radcliffe. It's literally her.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I think about a lot, is once the Max show, the reboot, got greenlit, she said something like, "You can cry your tears and have your boycott and I'll just be drinking champagne and counting my money." And so I think, like, even if, as long as companies don't feel that they have to cut her out, she's going to keep getting these deals and she's going to keep making that money, whether you are like supporting her financially or not.
Literally, she said for the game company says she's not a part of it. She's not a part of it. But in the, you know that she's making millions of dollars off of it because she's a smart businesswoman. Once again, we're not taking that away from her. And she made sure to get that copyright deal for everything. So there you go.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times she kind of implies, she's probably outright said it, but I don't know for sure. But she implies, like, as long as she's still culturally relevant, then what she understands is people either agree with her or don't care enough to do anything about it.
Right.
And that, I think I skipped over this bullet point, but one of the biggest things about her that comes up again when I'm having these disagreements with friends is, like, not only is she like a pseudo feminist, not a feminist at all, but like presents herself in that way and is therefore legitimized in that way. A lot of people have said, like, oh, she was cool with, like, you know, a lot of queer stuff, just not that trans part, which they think is bad. But I'm like, well, then I think that that's not, she wasn't cool with any of that then. Like, I'm kind of like the same way we say an intersectional feminist is not a feminist. You're not a feminist if you're a TERF. I think it's kind of the same with like queer stuff. Like, well, then she's not cool with it at all.
Right. Again, like, there's people have nitpicked her for everything. And I'm like, but I feel like there's some validity. And when you start looking at things, you're like, it's kind of the whole, like, and this is what I was always told by a person from England, so don't yell at me, that the whole, like, black white is not an issue, but ethnicity. So when it comes to, like, Pakistani people and such, like, that's a big deal. And it's kind of been implied to me, like, even though they may be cool with, like, having, like, interracial couples with black and white people, outside of that, there's other ethnicities that becomes a whole conversation. And there's been a whole rhetoric in TikTok in which slurs for Asian people is okay still there. And you're like, wait, what? And so there's a back and forth of, like, people like, no, it's not true. But they literally call Chinese food the derogatory word for Asian people. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, what? Like, and people are like, no, but it's just that way. It's not a big deal. I'm like, but it is. But no, but it is. Like, I don't know what's happening, but it is. But that level of, like, just because it's not the same as in other places doesn't mean it doesn't exist there. Again, with her, like, oh yeah, she's cool with this specific type of marginalized people, but outside of that, not cool.
Right.
Doesn't mean she's cool.
Right. Yes. I agree so much. Yes. And I know, like,
I'm not going to get in trouble for saying that. Sorry, UK people.
Well, let us know. kindly, please.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
The big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And I just want to say here, because I hope it's clear that Samantha knows. When I love something, I love something.
It's true.
This is not a conversation. I was dreading it. I've been putting it off. Like, I didn't want to have it. I really am not finding any joy in doing this. Like, I'm not, like, gleeful that, oh, I've, you all who are still, you know, in this world, I am, like, finding glee that I am better than you when I've moved on. I'm not. Like, this is, like, a really... It hurt. I hope it's clear in my voice. Like, it was...
Right.
It's not something I'm trying to make you feel bad about.
But it is. In our show, and as you know, we have to talk about the hard stuff, the things that make you uncomfortable, and the things that you have to have this... I mean, like, we could talk about the Asian... model minority myth, which is popping back up right now in the U.S., which we will. I've also been putting that off because I get very angry and upset about it, because this level of supremacy ideal, which is exactly what's happening with J.K. Rowling. She feels this level of supremacy over a group of marginalized people and wants to maintain that power because for some reason it threatens her, which is not true. Mm-hmm. Again, that's what they are saying. They feel threatened at this imaginary idea of someone else being who they are. Like, again, I'm still very confused by this whole we're being replaced. I was like, what? Are you no longer a woman? Like, what's happening? Why? Are you, congratulations if you're not, if that's how you feel, because you feel different, go ahead. But I don't think anybody's forcing you to be anything else. So I'm not really sure how you're being replaced, but okay. Once again, but yeah, this is that whole conversation that we have to look to. It's not a pretty pristine world. And these minute, what we would say minute details, or what you would think is like a smaller conversation, is a big conversation, because as we talked about in intersectionality, is that if one group of people are oppressed or marginalized, it means everyone is going to be affected by this conversation. And when we look at the fact that if one set of people do not have the freedom and the rights, then no one is safe and no one, like, it's not true freedom. Well, again, we've talked about that before. It's not true equality in any of that. And that's the intersectionality of it, is looking at the basis of every group is affected differently and some people are affected more. And we have to talk about why that breakdown is happening, even if it makes us uncomfortable, because we may not be a part of that group, but we see it and we know that that is damaging for everyone. Like, I hate to be like that narcissistic because it's not about us, but it can't, it that's the truth of it all. Like,
yeah,
until that is broken down, it's not true. This idea of equality is not true.
Yeah. And I think that these conversations are also tough because you have to acknowledge what you were previously allowing to be okay. And I think people, including me, like everybody, I think it's a natural response to feel defensive when you get those questions and to sort of try to point out, like, well, in what way are you not a hypocrite? We're all hypocrites.
Well, the bigger, it's just, it comes down to, what are you upholding? Are you upholding oppression, supremacy, and overall power? Or are you looking at true equality? And that's, and it does affect everything, no matter how trivial you think it is. To pretend like it doesn't is just as naive. I'm being a lot more mean. I'm a little, again, I'm more, I absolutely understand. I am definitely disconnected. I have an attachment issue in general, so I don't get attached to things too harshly because I'm sure that I'm going to lose it at any point. That's my drama. But it's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But that's, I mean, that's the reality, is when we have these conversations, and then when you, again, yes, you do your thing. You have to do what's safe for you, and then you have to do it in your own timing, whatever that might be. But we're not, we can't pretend that it's not something that can affect something. Like, it affects things. There is a cause and effect to everything, and you have to weigh that.
You do. You do. And I also just, quick final note, I want to say, sometimes when we do this podcast, I feel really terrible because perhaps I'm essentially having an argument that I haven't had with a real person, but it's like, come up, you know what I mean? And they're not here to present their side. And to that end, I want to say that I'm really bad at letting things go. I want to be better at having a disagreement. I want to be better about, like, not shutting down and making people feel like they can't share something they love with me. I think this is a complicated thing because it does hurt, but I also think because I haven't allowed myself to grieve yet, that maybe I will get better. That's also like a toxic, I know that about myself. And I also, I mean, you all know, I get how fun it is to talk about your fan fiction. And so sometimes it feels like I am being very selfish because I'm like, I don't want to hear about your Harry Potter fan fiction, because it's just upsetting. And that means I've stopped talking about my fan fiction pretty largely too. But it's like, it's just like this protective mechanism kicks in and is like, no, you can't, you cannot deal with this. And I want to work on that. I want to find a better way to recognize my negative emotions and deal with them. But I also just want to say that is something I should do. But really, I also think I'm being too forgiving of J.K. Rowling, because she's kind of the one that's bringing you down, not me.
Right.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Samantha. You've been very supportive in this thing I was putting off for so long. And to any listeners who feel the same, I am here. I am with you. You can email us at stephmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram and TikTok at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. We also have a TeePublic store with merchandise, or we have a book that you can pre-order at stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com, audio form or physical form. Thanks as always to our super producer Christina, our executive producer Maya, and our contributor Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stefan Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.